speaking to Steve Dixon about his Motocross the Nations experiences. Steve, you mentioned your first Motocross the Nations was in 91 in Valkenswaard, and then 94, obviously, you went to Roggenberg with the British team. Can you just tell me about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, that was a fantastic experience. Most people know the story. Paul Malin was not doing so well on the 250, so I wanted to try and get him into the nation, so I built him a 125. We did some local races against the top 125 riders, which was sort of Kelly Swanson back then, and Paul blitzed it. So we went to the test sessions with Dave Thorpe, and in every session Paul was like the quickest, even against sort of Kurt and Robbie. So he got the slot. And then for the Nations we got Bobby Moore's factory bike, and Paul did the business, and it was the first time we sort of won the Nations for sort of, I think, for a long time for Britain, but it broke the 13-year record from USA, so it was a major achievement at the time.
Tell me, just talking about that, I mean, you've experienced a lot in the sport with GP winners, British champions, you know, promoting GPs, promoting the donations. How was that experience actually, because that sort of, you were relatively young then. What was that like to be involved in that? That must have just been, was it pretty emotional?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty emotional. I remember, I think, in the last race, cheering Kurt on that on, and he had a fight with LaRocco's father. He was a mechanic, because it was getting pretty heated. We were allowed to sort of, you know, back then the mechanics used to sort of encroach onto the track, and it was getting pretty heated. But yeah, I mean, it was ecstatic, and I think just as a whole team atmosphere, it was brilliant. And it's something that will never be repeated again. You know, those feelings, your first feelings.
Yep. That, and after that, you were with Paul at a lot of donations. 98, you were with him at Fox Hills. That was rather a special event for maybe all the wrong reasons. But can you just tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of team coordinator of Yamaha UK. So not only I had Paul riding, I had Carl Nunn riding. So we had two of the three riders, you know, from my team then in the Nations in Britain, which was sort of huge sort of honour as well. But I mean, it was just so muddy. I remember sort of Carl Nunn's mechanic, he had to change bikes, you know, during the session, because it was just so muddy, you don't have time to wash. Everyone just remembers, Everett's going up the hill. For us, one of our memories was we lent one of our trucks to Doug Henry, and the Americans were stood on the roof, and they went through the roof of our camper. So that was pretty funny. And also Carmichael, I mean, he didn't look so good as a mud rider then. So yeah, it was just good, brilliant atmosphere. I remember all the fans sort of sliding down the banks, you know, just enjoying the mud, just totally sort of having a good laugh.
Yep. Tell me, after that, you've been involved in a lot of donations and obviously as team manager, promoter. What was that like, that 2006 Motocross the Nations? Obviously another amazing event with Stefan pulling off a victory over Stewart. How was that, running that event? Because it was in the middle of that era of really strong, big crowds, and it was nearly getting to proportions of how big is this Motocross the Nations going to get, and you were obviously...
Originally we were going to run the Motocross and the Motocross the Nations in 2006 at Farley Castle, and we actually went to to the Motocross the Nations with... my sponsor bike. It's, you know, we had two girls there all decked out. We had, you know, Porsche Cayenne decked out with all the decals, handed out leaflets, you know, advertising Farley Castle. And then at the event, I'm thinking, oh my God, look how big this event is. And then I went back to Farley Castle and I thought, started to sort of measure up again, and I'm like, it's just going to be too big. It's going to, I'm actually going to lose Fiery Castle, because, you know, the days of sort of people wandering around the streets and from field to field camping and stuff like that, you know, those days are gone, and I'm thinking, actually, this is just going to be a nightmare for Farley. And, you know, it would have been cool to do it at Farley, but then I thought, actually, we could lose Farley for the, you know, for the fans, because
yeah.
it could get out of hand. So that's what made me find Matterley. You know, Matterley was never existed, and I just went looking for a track that was near, well, a bit of land that was nearby, and found Matterley. And then obviously, as it turned out, Matterley was like even bigger than Erne, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I took all the information from Erne, and it looked like, you know, it was a complete camping sort of affair. But then in England, it was a complete hotel affair. But then on the weekend, suddenly there was like 12 miles of campers and just huge, huge amounts of people. And yeah, it was just, it was just sort of too big, really. But the atmosphere was fantastic, and to see all those photos of all the crowd, I mean, it was huge. And then obviously when Everts went around sort of Bubba, that was just an amazing moment. And probably the biggest sort of thing then was, which made my hair turn on, was on my arms, were when Billy got into the lead and the crowd just went wild. I mean, that was just like amazing.
Yep. Tell me, and after that, you were a team manager, and now the team's led by Neil Prince. But looking at them, I mean, you could nearly say Tommy's nearly the weak link, and Tommy's not a bad sand rider. I mean, England must have a great chance this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think England have a good chance. I mean, England always have a solid team. It wouldn't have been my choice, you know. I sort of gave up the job of manager because of, you know, they wouldn't agree to sort of take on, you know, riders from, you know, faraway countries. But yeah, I mean, Neil's gone with Max Hansey, which is, you know, Max can ride sand, and I hope he does well. But you know, for me, it's not a Paul Malin situation where you had a good rider that was changing class. To me, you know, to me, and not because he rides Yamaha, Sean Simpson has everything for him, which is like he has a factory team behind him, he has, you know, he lives in Longmore, he practices there, he rides, he's a solid sort of 7-8 rider every weekend.
Yep.
And, you know, to change that and put in Max for so many variables for maybe, you know, he may get 6 or 7, you know, maybe 5 at a push, but so can Sean. You know, Sean did well at Lierop. To me, there's too many variables of, you know.
You're going wrong.
I would have left sort of Sean as the MX sort of open rider for me. And obviously Jake, you know, and looking at Lierop, you know, Max did a fantastic ride on his 250 Honda, which seems strange where he can't sort of get results, you know, at other tracks.
Yeah, I couldn't work that out either, because all year everyone's
been... When you need a bike with the most sort of power and torque, you know, which is sand, he's done it. Yeah, obviously you can flow with technique and that, but you can't make up for sort of power in the 250 class.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, Max rode awesome, and yeah, if anything, you would have said he was the 250 rider then. So, but I mean, you know, they're all good riders, and you know, the only thing is, like, Sean is a reserve rider. He's like, he can only go one way, and that's MX1 or open. Whereas if one of the others was reserve and someone got injured, they could step into MX2 or MX1.
Yeah.
So it means you'd have to have sort of two shifts of a team member. But like I say, it's Longmore, they're going to have huge support. You know, the British are patriotic. I mean, that's going to be a big lift for them. But I say, the ultimate is the track is going to be, you know, pretty grueling. And, you know, Italy, Belgium has a really good chance. And you can never, never count USA. I still think USA will come and do the job.
Do you think Belgium, in my opinion, Belgium maybe don't have the belief in themselves? I mean, they haven't got a Stefan Evans or a Joel Smets in the team. They've got good riders, but they're... And, you know, they've got, what, second and fourth or something in MX1, second in MX2. So they've got...
I mean, you know, that's down to sort of... I mean, I think Joel Smets is still manager, but that's down to Joel to sort of, you know, pump him up. Because obviously there are three good riders on... You know, three fantastic bikes, and they live there and they train there, and you know, to me they are one of the really strong teams. I mean, obviously, you know, Germany could be strong. You know, with if Max is pretty good, if he's okay, you know, fit and healthy, then you know, Schipper can go well in the sand.
Mm.
So can you know, so can Nagel, and obviously Ken.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, most of the hype's about, you know, Carioli and Herlings and Dungey, and I don't know, you know, it's definitely Herlings is going to go really well there.
Yeah.
I mean, but the Nations is a different, you know, different kettle of fish. You're suddenly come up against, you'll come to go, you know, the one thing that could catch Jeffrey out is his speed. You know, he'll come to sort of treble a bump and then double a bump and then skip a bump, and suddenly you'll have some Chinese guy just like come from nowhere and actually T-bone him or get in the way or something, and that's the trouble. You know, in sand, to ride sand the way Jeffrey does, you have to use so much speed, and you're just going so well and so fast. In MX2, pretty much you know what's going on, but in the Nations you get all these invariables of sort of mobile chicanes that are in the way.
Yeah. Okay, Steve, thanks very much.